This episode is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. From expansion to reducing the risk of fraud, your business needs custom solutions to meet the specific moments you're navigating. Enter Fifth Third Bank. Fifth Third has industry experts ready to meet you with tools designed to make your business more efficient and solutions built specifically around your goals. To learn more, visit 53.com/commercial. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, December 7th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Nearly every time we go online, we unknowingly give away information about ourselves for free. Marketers and data brokers then use that information to target us with ads. But a growing number of startups want to turn the tables on the big data industry by giving individuals more control over their information and even giving them a cut of the profits. On today's show, reporter Patience Hagen, who covers advertising for the Journal, joins us to discuss what these companies are doing and what it would take to remake the multi-billion dollar digital ad industry. That's after these headlines. Some big changes at Alibaba. The Chinese tech giant appointed a new chief financial officer and is reorganizing its e-commerce teams into one unit. It's also creating a new international digital commerce group to focus on expansion outside of China. Alibaba is facing increased competition from other Chinese companies moving into the e-commerce space, and it's dealing with slowing growth and a plummeting stock price. In a letter to employees, CEO Daniel Zhang said the new structure is an effort to make the company more agile. The electric vehicle company Lucid became the latest EV maker facing a regulatory investigation. The company said the Securities and Exchange Commission requested documents related to the deal that took it public last summer and specifically seemed to be interested in certain projections and statements the company made. Lucid said it's cooperating with the agency. Two other EV makers that have gone public through SPACs, Lordstown Motors and Workhorse, are facing regulatory inquiries of their own. Meanwhile, the SEC is also investigating the SPAC deal between former President Donald Trump's new social media venture and the company that plans to take it public, Digital World Acquisition Corp. The deal was announced in October and valued Trump's social media business at about $875 million, including debt. Trump met with Digital World's CEO before the SPAC raised money. If the meeting involved substantial deal talks, it would have violated securities law. It's not clear if the SEC is looking into the meeting. Neither company responded to a request for comment. And a few weeks ago, we told you about a trial in Florida that could have answered one of the biggest mysteries in crypto. Who created Bitcoin? Well, the verdict is in, and it doesn't seem the mystery will be resolved anytime soon. The jury rejected claims by the estate of Florida businessman David Kleiman that he formed a partnership to launch Bitcoin with Craig Wright. For years, Wright has claimed to be the creator of Bitcoin. The jury dismissed most of the claims against Wright, but did find that he took Bitcoin that belonged to the partnership and awarded Kleiman's estate $100 million. All right, coming up, would you sell your personal data if you could? Some startups want you and them to profit from your personal information. We'll have the details after the break.
Escape QuickBooks quicksand with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system. Special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch from QuickBooks to NetSuite today. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet right now.
Our personal data is valuable. It's a big driver of the $455 billion digital ad market. But most of us don't receive a dime from our information. Instead, we give it away for free by using services that keep tabs on our activities online. But what if you could have more control over that information, and maybe even a cut of the profits from selling it? Some government officials have suggested creating laws to that effect. Here's California Governor Gavin Newsom back in 2019.
California consumers should also be able to share in the wealth that is created from their data. So I've asked my team to develop a proposal for a new data dividend for Californians, because we recognize the data has value and it belongs to you.
The idea of a data dividend hasn't come to fruition quite yet, but Congress is looking at ways to give individuals more control over their information, and a growing number of startups are hoping to remake the personal data industry. Joining us to discuss the company's plans and the uphill battle they face is our digital ad industry reporter, Patience Hagen. Patience, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me back.
So we know there's a lot of data about us out there, but can you help me wrap my head around the scope of it? How many data points that we as individuals create are on the internet?
People are being really creative about ways to visualize it. Imagine probably like, you know, hundreds of data points being created every minute that you're online. There was this cool art exhibit in New York back in September that was up for a few days that had this really neat way of visualizing it, visualizing like the way it is today versus the way it could be. And for the way it is today, you could walk by a screen and it detected the heat of your body, and then it just created like a blob of data points which would follow you along as you walked along the wall, but you couldn't control it really. It just kind of stalked you. And then on the other side, they had this vision of like the way it could be, where like there was a blob of data, but you could like move and do a dance and it would follow you. And that was kind of cool, this idea that you could control that.
Okay, so we know we're not really in control of our data online at the moment. You know, social media, search companies, they've turned this into a billion-dollar industry. And while people worry about data privacy, when it comes to economics, there are industries making a lot of money off of this. So why do politicians and startups think this is an area that needs to be disrupted?
I guess because there's a lot of frustration with the way these companies are using our data. So that ranges from privacy concerns, you know, are they sharing this data with too many people and are they really being good stewards of it? Just look at the hacks that have been revealed over the past few years. And then there's also the whole question of like exploitation. If a few companies have so much control of the data, there's no real restrictions on the way they can use it, to, you know, whether that's in ways that hurt us or ways that help us.
Okay, so who are the people who are trying to disrupt this industry?
There's a whole array of startups, and it kind of ranges from like the scrappiest, kind of simplest models to really ambitious, futuristic models that are trying to recreate the whole web. So there's startups like Streamlytics that's getting people to take advantage of their right to download their own data and then paying them for it. So essentially letting you resell the data yourself. That doesn't take a lot of like new infrastructure. They're just kind of getting people to take advantage of their existing rights. And then on the other hand, there's projects like Project Liberty, which is a whole vision to kind of rebuild the web from the ground up and rebuild it in a way where you own the data, you can set the terms for it, and then right from the start, you'd be compensated.
So the idea is we can share in the revenue from our data. How much money are we talking about for individuals?
Not a lot. Don't get stars in your eyes. It's not going to be enough to make anybody rich, apparently. It turns out one person's data, you know, your average consumer, it's not really worth that much. Some companies say their customers can make like 10 to 15 a month by being compensated for their data. And then one of the highest I've heard is from Streamlytics, where some of their customers make a few hundred dollars a quarter. And it's kind of all based on how much data you upload through their systems.
And are people willing to make that trade?
People are willing to make that trade. So Project Liberty conducted a poll of about 1,000 U.S. adults, and they asked, if you had control of your data, would you do something different with it? What would you do? About 60% of those adults said if they controlled their data, they would keep it private. Still, another 23% said they would actually choose to exchange it for something of value. So there is a really strong contingent that's interested in getting compensated for our data and kind of sharing in the riches that our data has created for digital businesses.
But the data is still available to companies like Google or social media companies that already have it. So you're just making money with them, right?
Right. They're still making money with you. The existing models that work today are just coming out with other ways for you to get a little piece of it. To reimagine a world where, you know, those companies don't make money off it and don't own it before you do, or, you know, own it along with you, that would take kind of a whole new infrastructure.
Talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, how do you get buy-in from, you know, big advertising companies? I mean, they're certainly not going to want the industry to change.
Yeah, that's the big question. You totally nailed it. And none of these startups that are talking about ways to rebuild it have solved that question yet. None of them have really created a way where the companies that currently have a lot of power are about to just hand over that power. Maybe the closest one is Reclaim, because they're partnering with a lot of companies that buy and sell data, where they'll query, you know, 30,000 companies with data and show you all the data they can find about you. And then you can kind of edit it and correct it. So those data companies are getting something out of it because they're getting more accurate data as a result. But, you know, for the time being, there's no way to, like, take that data away from companies that don't partner with Reclaim. There's no way to reclaim control of all your data that's already out there in the universe.
If we did live in a world where companies had less of our data or had to pay for it, how would that change our experience online?
That's a fascinating question. It might mean that we are kind of enjoying more privacy and you're having less of that experience where ads are almost following you around the web and they seem to know everything about you before you've told them. It could have other effects too, because social media companies, they'd have a lot less data to kind of optimize the experience for you, right? So right now, think about it, they optimize like every single feature to keep you coming back. Without that, some of these products might be a lot less sticky as well.
All right, that's our reporter, Patience Hagen. Thanks for joining us, Patience.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John M. Schweiler from The Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.